Hello, hello, everybody. We are back with Work at Life, season two. Very excited to be here again. I'm Maddie Grant, with Propel. I'm a culture designer, and I'm here with Sonia Lucina from Question Pro. Sonia, you want to give your little intro?
Yeah, so I'm Sonia. I'm an organizational psychologist and so happy to be back with all of you for season two.
Yeah, so we are very excited to start season two. We're doing something a little different this time. Last season, we picked a lot of different topics and kind of threw them out there to the world. And all of the topics were related to that gray area between work and life, work-life balance, culture, pandemic, of course, all of these things that were really top of mind in the last few weeks, few months. And our show was so great and so much fun that we decided we wanted to make it more of a season with a theme this time. So our theme for season two is the female recession, which, if you don't know what that is, you're about to find out.
Yeah, and
Just
it's
a quick
out of
reminder.
all the things.
Sorry, just a quick reminder that every our signature thing is to have at least one, and in this case, multiple data points as part of every show. So, we're able to send out quick surveys to workers in the United States who will always bring in that data to inform our conversation. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sonia because we have lots of good data today.
Yeah, we have it's just such a incredibly important topic, and it's something that Maddie and I have done research on prior to this season, and a big part of the reason why we selected to spend a lot of time talking about it. And so just, today will be all about awareness. Today will be all about why are we talking about the first female recession? What is it? Why should we care? And then in each of our subsequent episodes, we're going to have a certain area of focus and invite a number of different guests to help us tackle how do we really make a difference here? Yeah. So you'll continue to hear from us, but we'll add some incredible external perspectives. And so in looking at, just talking about some of the data and thinking about again why is this topic so important? So women have had certain struggles in the workplace when it comes to really reaching equality with their male counterparts, when it comes to equal pay, when it comes to being in the C-suite, not just at the CEO level, but really executive levels overall. And so one of the things that we wanted to take a look at is so many organizations, so many individuals have been making such huge strides and really, putting effort towards different initiatives to close this gap. But all of a sudden, what we found during the pandemic is if you look at just the US alone, between February 2020 and January 2021, so over a span of about a year, 2.3 million women left the workforce. And that's in comparison to 1.8 million men. So it's not that women were the only ones leaving, but they left proportionally more. And even when we looked at the data in December of last year, one of, the scariest things was that in that 1 month alone, 86% of job losses alone were endured by women. And so why was this happening? What was happening? And in one of our next episodes too, we'll talk more about working parents, but one of the key reasons for this and one of the groups that was impacted the most were actually working mothers. Why? Because there were many different school closures. Children had to, stay at home. Also, as we know, a lot of older people were impacted disproportionately. So women of around probably mine and Maddie's age took care of kids, also took care of their parents, depending on the situation. And a lot of that burden fell on women. So it's when we looked at what happened in the last year, there was a significant amount of job loss across the board, disproportionately more for women than men.
Yeah, and the saddest part of all of this data to me is the fact that the the unemployment rate or the job loss rate is below the lowest point that it ever was in previous years, or in previous months. So it's we have just so much ground to make up, even though it was already bad before, basically. Yeah. And now we're even worse.
Yeah, and that brings us to our next data point. And I think you can find this in a number of different places, but we were reading a Time magazine article, and it said that it will take more than 135 years for women to catch up with men when it comes to pay, when it comes to different levels. I will say that again, 135 years at the rate that we're moving today for there to be equality. And to make matters worse, because of a lot of this, a lot of the women leaving the workforce, unfortunately, in the last year, the gap grew by 36 years. So it became significantly worse. That 1 year of pandemic not only wiped out so much progress that's been made, but actually set us back significantly. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of work to do. And, you know, Maddie and I, you know, we mentioned that we, you know, we dedicate our lives to studying culture. We dedicate our professions to understanding employee engagement and employee experiences and how people connect with each other at work and outside of work. And so over the year, as we looked at these findings, they were sad, but maybe they were not as shocking, unfortunately. They gave us the drive to want to make a difference. But over the year, we followed these themes closely. And when we were deciding, again, on what theme, what topic do we want to tackle in season two, as Maddie was mentioning, we have this ability to send out quick questions to millions of people in the U.S. and understand, well, we come from a certain perspective, but what is the general sentiment of the population? And so one of the questions we asked of 600 U.S. workers across the country is we asked them if they've heard of the first female recession. And again, it's something that both Maddie and I have been following very closely, have seen many headlines tackling it. But when we asked this question, we found out that actually less than a quarter, only 24% of the respondents said that they have heard of the first female recession. So we identified this really big lack in awareness. And then we started to think, well, maybe it's just the term, right? Maybe it's just the way that it was coined. I've also seen it called the she session. And so maybe people just haven't heard of the term, but surely they have had to see in the headlines how much of an impact, you know, this has had on women. And so we rephrased the question. We asked, in the last year, how do you think improving female equality in the workplace has changed? Well, what we found in, you know, in the answer here is that actually half of the people thought that there's been improvement in the last year. 33% said that they felt like that there has been no change, and only 7% said that they felt like there was, it's significantly worsened. And so as we were going through this data, I think both of us had this solemn feeling of saying, wow, there is so much more to be done, but people don't realize it. There have been so many really, really challenging headlines over the last year. This has unfortunately had a lot of competition for tough things, and people don't know about it. Very few people are aware of it. And so that's really what brought us back to saying, okay, how can we create the most effective platform? Because there are a lot of people out there that can make an impact. It's organizations, it's people who are leaders, it's HR departments, it's CEOs, it's so many different individuals inside the organization who really think about this as their job on a daily basis. But it's every single person too. It's every single person that can have a hiring decision. It's every single person that can choose to mentor somebody in their role and help them raise to the occasion, help people understand what is it beyond the pandemic that's been holding people back that every single one of us can take a role to make a difference. But it starts with knowledge, right? It starts with people understanding, yeah, exactly, like, oh my God, how big is this problem?
Yeah, so for me, there's two big pieces to this. So first of all, we always want to test our own assumptions, because Sonia and I, like Sonia said, this is the stuff that we live and breathe every single day. We read all the HBR articles, and you know, we just research this kind of stuff just all the time. And we can never fall back on the assumption that everybody else pays attention to it in the same way. So just even remembering to ask the question whether people have heard of this at all is something that I think we want to make sure that we do for every topic that we talk about, you know, on this show, because we can't just assume that people necessarily know. And then the other side of it is that you can't really start to find solutions, which is ultimately what this show is all about. So, you know, we want to dig into these topics and throw out questions to our audience, but there's no point in doing that unless ultimately it comes to helping find some solutions. And of course, Sonia and I, our own experience is on the organizational side, right? Organizational psychologist and culture designer. We work with organizations to help them figure out solutions for all kinds of different issues and to help their, you know, staff feel more fulfilled in their organizations. But that means that there's just a lot of, you need that foundational understanding of the situation before you can really find lots of creative solutions for it. So that's where we want to get to, you know, with this show in general. And I'm very excited actually about this theme, because not only can we start to just share, you know, what the situation is, which of course is today's topic, but also, you know, over the next few episodes, just try and dig into some solutions. And, you know, we're not going to solve this, just the two of us. Like, that would be cool. And awesome. But I don't pretend.
How fun would that be?
I don't pretend to think we can do that. But at least, you know, we have the opportunity to just come up with at least and brainstorm just a bunch of different, you know, what ifs, right? What if we could just change things, you know, one baby step at a time, you know, by throwing out some ideas that people take on and try out, you know, back at the ranch, back at their own organizations. And
there's so many ideas. I know, as we've been talking about this and just trying to narrow down the topics and doing so much research. And there was a recent article in HBR that outlined a lot of recommendations, and a lot of these things I thought, I've seen this before. But we're talking about it again because people are still not effectively doing it. There's still an opportunity for organizations to make a change. There's an opportunity for individuals to make changes. But then there were some things that really jumped out at me. Like, one example was, and again, we'll dig into all of this, but since we have a little bit more time, we can tease some ideas. One was just how much of an impact giving somebody visibility, especially earlier in their career, has. And I remember when I first went into the workforce, I had this incredible leader, and she brought me everywhere. She brought me to every meeting. And I remember at the time I was in my mid late 20s, and she would bring me to meetings with CEOs, and I wore a turtleneck to every meeting in a suit because I didn't want anybody to know how young I was. And I was just looking at this and I thought, wow, I was so grateful to her for that. And I felt like it had an impact on my career. But it was one of those things that now there's actually data backing that's one of the most significant ways you can help women inside organizations. And so I'm thinking about every single person that's a leader, every single person that has women on their team. Oftentimes it costs very little or nothing to bring somebody extra into a meeting, to have them present their work, to meet somebody, to hear the thought process of somebody else. And so that's what got me really excited, because again, as you were saying, Maddie, we predominantly focus on what organizations can do, and we will talk about that. But I know sometimes it's even you know, the thought of it might be daunting, or an organization might say, ah, can we move this significantly? Okay, well, maybe you can do it in steps. But to me, it was also so incredibly energizing to think about all these different ways that every single person that has an opportunity to talk with us, every single person that is a leader, is a colleague, that there are things that each person can do to really make a difference. Again, as long as we're aware how significant of a problem this is to be fixed and have these ideas for the specific things that we can do. Because I think with the lack of ideas, it's tough to think of that every single leader with the best intentions they have will know what are the things that are most impactful. So like that example to me, when I read this HBR article and I thought, oh, that happened to me and it worked and I'm so happy in my career now. So how do we shout those things off the rooftops, especially when it's not only personal experience, but backed with data? Like, let's tell everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's so many other things, like, you know, if children, having to take care of children is one of the reasons why so many women are now out of the workforce. Like, what can we tackle that from a different angle? You know, can the organizations tackle that? Like, you know what I'm going to say next. Like, what about having some childcare? You know, like, is the cost of setting that up in your company more than the cost of losing a bunch of really, really good, talented people? You know, like, how would you weigh the pros and cons of that kind of thing? And yeah, I mean,
sometimes it comes to fairness too. Like, it comes to benefits, it comes to understanding. Like, one of the things we talked about was asking people what they need in form of support. So now we've, you know, talked about the hybrid workplace and where are people going to work and how are people going to work. I think it's so important to tease out a lot of the details. So maybe it's not just about where and how, but what do you need to be effective? And if you're saying, you know, I have a young child and by the time I take them to daycare somewhere, even if I'm working from home, it still takes a significant amount of time. So maybe if there is a place in the office, yes, I'll come in because now my kid can be in the same building as me. And so I think what organizations are going to need to think about is really challenge themselves sometimes. Maybe they'll be more expensive. It might. But do you create more fairness? Do you attract better talent, both for men and women equally? Because I think also what's happening, as more women are hopefully continue to rise to the top and have these stronger positions, they're going to look for equal partners in men as well. So all of a sudden, it's not just going to be women that are going to need daycare. It's going to be your male CEOs as well, because their wife's going to be sitting there. So you better believe I'm not leaving my job. So you have to help me figure this out too. Yeah.
Exactly. And we've even, I think we will see some really interesting positives come out of the, you know, new normal, let's say, to use a cliche that I hate to use, but but the idea that you can work from home and you can have some more flexibility. I know many organizations are thinking about how to incorporate and continue and keep some of that flexibility, you know, in their practices as they return to the office, and even rethinking their space completely so that it's more of a meeting space and a collaborative space and much less of a cubicle, you know, with every butt in every seat kind of space. Yeah. So there are some good things that have come out of it, but having this, you know, like we keep saying, having this data in the back of our minds around the true impact on women that this has had in the last year, is just really, really important. So we're very eager to really dig into this more in the next few episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. So as much as this is a really big challenge, in some ways a heartbreaking situation, what we are going to aim to do is make every episode as uplifting, as hopeful, as optimistic as possible. The idea is that there is a solution. We're going to do everything we can in our power to make sure that it takes less than 135 plus years to get to it. And in all the different people that we've talked with about potential guests, there's been so much energy. There's been so much desire to create a change. There's been so many incredible, innovative ideas from people who are entrepreneurs to people working in larger organizations, that we're going to aim that every every time that we're together, that you come away with just the feeling of, yes, there's hope and I can be part of it. And I see a brighter future and I see a way that I can make an impact. So again, I know it's a tough topic, but it's certainly something that Maddie and I chose to talk about because we feel so passionately about it. And we feel so optimistic that as a group, we can make a really big difference.
Yes, exactly. So with that, I think our 20 minutes are up for today. But we can't wait to see you in the next show.